Section 6, Buckingham Palace. It's grand, it's famous, and it's been at the centre of many of Britain's great national celebrations for centuries. But how does it rate architecturally? Some critics regard the exterior, anyway, of Buckingham Palace as bland and uninspired. Certainly the palace had a rather unhappy start in life. It was originally the home of the Duke of Buckingham, built, it said, on the site of a well-known brothel. George III bought it in 1761 as a home for his wife, Queen Charlotte, and she gave birth to 14 of their 15 children here. When the extravagant, larger-than-life George IV came to the throne and moved out of Carlton House, where he had lived as Prince of Wales, he employed his favourite architect, John Nash, to turn Buckingham House into a royal palace. Nash built rooms on the far side of the building, overlooking the gardens. He also extended the two wings either side, but left the building with an open courtyard facing out into what is now the Mall. In the middle, he put a marble arch, celebrating the great British victories at Trafalgar and Waterloo. In fact, despite this extensive work, which inevitably went way over budget, George IV never lived here. The first British monarch to call Buckingham Palace home was Queen Victoria in 1837. But shortly after she and her husband Prince Albert moved in, they found that the palace was too small for their growing family. So the marble arch was moved up to the corner of Hyde Park, at the western end of Oxford Street, and this fourth wing was built along the front here to enclose the courtyard and to create a grand frontage for the building. Buckingham Palace now has 775 rooms, including 188 staff bedrooms, 78 bathrooms, and 92 offices. Electric light arrived here in 1833, and today there are some 40,000 light bulbs in the palace. The sumptuously decorated staterooms and the gardens are now open to the public during August and September. The gardens cover a massive 40 acres and are elegant and peaceful. They include a helicopter landing area, a lake, and a tennis court where the Queen's father, King George VI, often played tennis with world champion Fred Perry. There are also around 30 species of bird and more than 350 different varieties of wild flowers, some extremely rare. Tickets for the palace and the garden are available from the booth in Green Park, over to your right as you look at the palace, or you can get them online. Just have a look in your printed guide for details. Booking in advance is strongly recommended. The Queen's Gallery, over to the left as you look at Buckingham Palace, has a collection of old masters and is also worth visiting. When the Queen is in residence, you'll see the Royal Standard flying above Buckingham Palace with its four-quarter design depicting gold lions on a red background and a harp against a blue background. When she is not at home, there is a Union flag, also known as the Union Jack, at sea, of course. Buckingham Palace's ornamental railings were added in 1911. The gate over to the right is the most often used. The central gate is used only on state occasions and by the guardsmen after the changing of the guard. You can see the changing of the guard here at 11:30 every day between April and July, and on alternate days during the rest of the year. The large round monument just in front of Buckingham Palace is the Queen Victoria Memorial. It was commissioned by her son, Edward VII, and makes a suitably grand climax for the Mall. It's made of more than 2,000 tons of white marble, topped by a gilt statue representing victory. Just below, Queen Victoria looks out along the Mall. You've also got the Angel of Justice facing over to the right, towards Green Park, the Angel of Truth facing towards St. James's Park on the left, and the Angel of Charity, which looks back at Buckingham Palace. Around them are decorations with a nautical theme to celebrate Britain's great naval history. Edward VII was a terrible disappointment to his mother, partly because of his incessant womanizing. Queen Victoria always believed that her beloved husband, Prince Albert, caught the chill that killed him when he went to visit Edward at Cambridge University to tell their son to stop fornicating and start studying. Personally, I can't help thinking that Edward's motivation for building this vast monument to his disapproving mother would give any psychologist food for thought. As you face the palace, over on the right is Green Park, a lovely, peaceful open space. Okay, when you're ready, we're going to move on to another, much older palace now. With your back to Buckingham Palace, retrace your steps back along the Mall towards Admiralty Arch. You might want to start walking back now. As you walk along, on your left, by the way, you'll see a large cream-coloured brick building. This is Clarence House, home of the Prince of Wales and his sons. Keep walking along the Mall until you come to a junction with traffic lights. On your right, you'll see the gate of St. James's Park. But we want to turn left at this junction, just after Clarence House, and walk along Marlborough Road, which has dark brown brick walls either side of it. Carry on along Marlborough Road until you come to the courtyard of St. James's Palace on your left. When you get there, play section 7, St. James's Palace.